Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt and the show is brought to you by the continuously updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate New York, and through our links to Boston, Massachusetts, and Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage and MLS number 37405. Hunt Mortgage is an equal opportunity lender. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our very skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's our guarantee. Also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. In today's very competitive market where there's not enough listings on the market for the number of buyers that would like to buy, you want to make sure that your offer is as competitive as possible. If you don't have the cash on hand, the next best thing, actually the equivalent, is our pre-purchase commitment. Call today, 633-3700, for personalized, customized service that will knock your socks off. And check out that low rate guarantee. Don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property that's listed for sale here in Buffalo, Niagara, again, in any of the markets we serve. The local number here is 716-631-4800. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. We have a very active market right now, and again, you want to be as prepared as possible to enter the market, or even better yet, if you have a home to sell, you'll never have an opportunity to realize as much as you will today, given the competitive nature of the marketplace and the shortage of listings. So call today, Hunt Real Estate, 633-9400, and ask about our many programs that will allow you to effectively guarantee that you'll walk away with the money that you need for your next home. That's a seller security plan. Remember, we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Rochester Americans, the Buffalo Sabres, and of course, our famous Buffalo Bills now. One of the great teams ever, in my opinion, that has ever set foot on a football field. They play today at 1 o'clock. Go Bills. Let's hope that this is our first home victory in, I think it's 25 years since we had a last home victory. We are broadcast live on WBN 930 AM. If you want to participate in today's show, call us here in the studio, 803-0930, or if you're long distance, 1-800-616-9236, or star 930 if you're mobile. Those are all free calls. And you can text us also at that same number, 803-0930, if you've got a message or a question for us. We have a very special show for you today in light of what's been happening in our world around us. And it's a troubling time these days, but there is a message here somewhere, and that's what we're going to try to find today for the real estate world. And to help me with that, I think one of the great experts in this whole area is Carl Calabrese. Mr. Calabrese is a consultant, a political consultant, and a frequent guest on this radio station and other stations as well, offering his advice on the marketplace. And I think, Carl, good morning. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, Peter, good to be on your show again.
And we're socially distanced, so everybody knows that, you know, Carl and I don't have a chance to infect each other. But I have a negative test, though, because I am going to the game. So I'm clean today, Carl, so you don't have to worry. But, Carl, I think the first time you were on the show was when you were town supervisor in Tonawanda. Goes back a ways.
Well, I think I was on your show when I was deputy county executive as well.
Absolutely. I mean, many times you're on, but I mean, I think way back when, and that was probably the mid-90s. When did you serve as town supervisor in Tonawanda?
I was on the town board first as a councilman for a number of years. It started in 85. I became supervisor in 93 and served until 2000.
And after that, you became part of the Jamber administration, is that correct?
5 years. I was a deputy county executive from 2000 to 2005, and then left in January of 2005 and started from scratch a lobbying business with the then most people considered an absolutely crazy idea of being the first lobbying firm in New York State that was headquartered in Buffalo and not in Albany, New York City. All the so-called experts in the business in Albany and New York City said, it's never going to work, it's going to fail. Well, with the right team, the right partners, the right business model. We built it up to where, when I retired just a few short weeks ago, it was the largest lobbying firm in Western New York. It has been for a number of years, and we're not the only one, because all those companies that said you can't have offices in Buffalo have all subsequently started satellite offices in Buffalo. So it really was a very successful business model that no one had ever tried before. And our thought was that when you have, we started off with three people, myself, Marina Wilcock, and Victor Farley, and then after 1 year we were joined by Tony Masiello. When you have people like that who were born and raised here and understand Western New York and know its business leaders and its not-for-profit leaders and organizational leaders, and you know what their problems are with government, it really gave us a leg up. And, of course, in 2009, Victor Farley and Marina Wilcock retired, and we brought Victor Martucci in, who was vice president for 15 years of Murano Mark Equity in the home building business. So he really had a good solid base in development issues and also government, because one of his jobs at that firm was to get land ready, dealing with state regulatory agencies and local regulatory agencies. And so the three of us just became Masiello, Martucci, and Calabrese, and it just took off. And I'm very proud of it, and had some great partners and a very, very good run for 16 years.
Is it private individuals and companies that come to a company like yours and ask for advice on how to deal with the government? Is that basically how you operate?
Peter, we really specialized in state and local government lobbying. We did very little federal lobbying, a couple of exceptions, but for the most part, the vast majority of our clients have always been organizations, businesses that had issues with state government or local governments. And, you know, if you look at who the company represents, which is all public, you can go on a state website and see whoever lobbying firm represents. It was a real interesting group of clients. It really read like a who's who of Western New York. We represented lots of different companies, not-for-profit organizations, educational institutions, healthcare institutions, for both state and local needs. I was kind of the local government expert, given my 20 years in local government. So when companies or people or organizations had issues at the town or county level, city level, and wanted to deal with or had to deal with town boards, city councils, mayors, supervisors, planning boards, zoning boards, they would come to us and see if we could help them. And if we could, they would retain us, and we would put together a game plan for whatever issue they had.
The elephant in the room today in politics, obviously, is what happened in Washington this week. And so we can just kind of get that out of the way, because I have other issues that I'd like you to comment on. How would you react to everything that happened this week? And I think a lot of us were expecting that there would be a gathering in Washington, and there would be a lot of speeches, and Congress would do its thing, and we would certify the election, and the Electoral College vote would be supported and acted on, and we would have a termination finally of who the president would be on January 20th. Obviously, a lot of things happened on Wednesday that disturbed that whole process, and I just wonder what your reaction is.
Peter, I could probably fill the rest of the hour with adjectives to describe how bad that situation was. It was ugly, disturbing, disgusting, scary. It was just as bad as you could get. I mean, if it had been a peaceful protest that stopped at the gates of the Capitol, fine. That's what the First Amendment's all about. But to crash the gates and to break the law, now you've gone too far. You know, I'm of the old school that when a police officer tells you to do something, you say yes, sir, and you do it. And when a police officer says don't do something, you say yes, sir, and you don't do it. And so, you know, that storming of the Capitol and going through the halls of Congress and going into the chambers, breaking windows, just no place, absolutely no place. And, you know, the problem is, and I said this on a TV show the other day, you can't take this just in isolation. You have to look back to the summer. Because what we have now is a very dangerous trend. In the summer, we had the left rioting, basically anarchy, in numerous cities, taking over cities, burning, looting, killing. Portland had over 100 consecutive nights of riots. Now, the media pretty much ignored or censored it, but it happened. And so the left was saying that the country is systematically racist and basically irredeemable, and it has to be torn down and reformed. That was the message all summer from the left. Now you've got the right saying the system is corrupt, the elections are rigged, we've got to tear it down. This is not sustainable in a republic. And if you're starting to see little fissures, little cracks in the foundations, and if people don't believe in the basic core beliefs and philosophy of the nation, and they don't believe in the integrity of the election system, that's what causes countries to come apart. It's what causes republics to fail. And I remind people that we're going into our 245th year as a republic. That's amazing. That's so unique in history, because the average lifespan of a republic in history is between 40 and 50 years. To see things come apart on both sides of the spectrum, left and right, it's very dangerous. So I'm hoping that cooler heads prevail and we get back to a more traditional level of politics where we're debating issues and doing it with passion. But this era that we're in now of personal destruction plus questioning the very foundations of our country, very dangerous.
Well, we know that sooner or later things will calm down, and I'm hoping that with the new administration coming in, that people will begin to respect that situation and act accordingly. But who knows what will happen? And I obviously, as you say, we could spend the whole hour on that, and that's not what we want to do. There will be certain things that the new administration will do, though, that will have a direct impact on Western New York and New York State. What do you see happening, I guess, immediately or soon thereafter, say, in the first 100 days that would have a direct impact on New York State?
Well, I think now that the Democrats control the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, I think you're going to see some type of continuation of stimulus bills. I think you're going to see the $2,000 payment to Americans as individuals. And I think you're going to see some type of relief for local and state governments that have run up big deficits during this COVID crisis, deficits that result from the slowdown economy and people not paying taxes and buying things and paying sales taxes. And just about every state, I think, has suffered some type of financial loss, and right down to local governments as well. I put on my old town supervisor's hat the other day and thought about what would it be like now as a town supervisor. Looking at the financial picture of reduced revenue that you thought and hoped would come in, it's not going to be there. So I would think that there was agreement between Republicans and Democrats on one part of a municipal relief package, and that was that there should be one. The difference was Republicans said, we're not going to bail out states for their pre-COVID deficits. We'll bail out states and local governments for what the additional deficit is based on the COVID ramifications. But we're not going to go back and reward states that had already built up big deficits by overspending and bail them out. But Democrats didn't have that problem. So now that it's all Democrat across the board, I think you're going to see some type of major financial relief for state and local governments happen within the first 100 days.
So that could effectively be good news for us here in New York State, and particularly in the city of Buffalo. The mayor has said, even on this show some time ago, that federal relief, national government relief, was essential for the well-being of this community. Is that something that you see happening?
Yeah, I do, and obviously that type of relief will help keep taxes, the property taxes, lower, and relieve the pressure on local governments to increase property taxes. And in your business, that's a pretty critical component to deciding how much of a house you can buy based on the local property taxes, which you already know are very high in New York State. And so I think that would be a relief for your business as well.
Well, it's not something that I guess we in the industry had hoped for, but in the last analysis, the other alternative is just what the governor has already said: higher taxes, cutting of services, which of course nobody wants to see because that makes it a less hospitable place to live, et cetera. But as you look at this, and you going back to your days as a town supervisor and as a deputy county executive, you know that the economy is a very complex set of interrelationships, including the well-being of the workplace in terms of a healthy work community as well as a hospitality community. All these things interact to make for a quality of life. A lot of that's been interrupted by the whole shutdown of the economy through this whole COVID-19 period. How do you see that evolving? Last week we had Rocco Termini on, and he was very, I think, quite articulate in his description of it. How do you see that evolving from where you are?
I think evolving is a good word because evolution takes time and it's slow. And I think it's going to take time to get back to a normal feeling of people and a more normal economy. I'm hoping that it's a minimal delay. There's a lot of pent-up demand out there. People are anxious to get out. There's a lot of savings as people have been locked down. They've saved money, and so personal savings rates are very, very high in this country right now. So once people get comfortable again, that things are going back to normal and their jobs are secure, you may very well see an increase in personal spending. And, of course, we all know that that's what drives the American economy is the consumer. So that's worth watching, and I think the quicker we can get people feeling comfortable that it's safe to go back out and their jobs are secure, the better it's going to be for businesses across the economic spectrum, and especially real estate.
You know, that brings up a good point. From a political perspective, Carl, from your seat, say, how do you rationalize the strength of all of the equities markets these days? I mean, they're record highs.
I know. They're absolutely record highs. Everybody's got 401k plans. They're pretty happy these days. That could change quickly, though. One of the things that you've got to watch for is the Democrats are talking about raising the capital gains tax again. And not only are they talking about raising the capital gains tax on capital gains, they're also talking about taxing capital gains you haven't realized yet. In other words, taxing you on paper gains that you haven't sold the stock, but it went up in your portfolio. They're talking about taxing that. So it's going to be very interesting to watch the Democrat Party in power now, okay? Everybody's concentrating on the future so-called civil war struggle within the Republican Party post-Trump. There's also that type of dynamic going on in the Democrat Party. You've got two wings of the party. You've got the progressive left wing, and you've got the moderate wing. Now, if the progressive left wing dominates and wins out, you're going to see some very job-killing, initiative-killing, innovation-killing legislation become law, and that's going to have very negative ramifications. If the moderate wing wins out, it'll be much less so. The problem is, politically speaking, if the moderate wing dominates, you probably got a civil war within the Democrat Party with the progressive left, and vice versa, if the progressive left wing dominates, you're going to get some really bad and ugly legislation. So that struggle within the Democrat Party is worth watching, and it will have very serious ramifications on the future economy.
Do you really think that there's a possible way for taxes to be raised on only those people that make more than $400,000? Because if you look at the numbers of those people and the amount that we're talking about, they've been talking about in terms of raising those taxes, there really isn't enough money there to make much of a dent in the deficits that we're building up. Is there something behind all this, Carl, in your mind that really is going to affect everybody?
Peter, one of the dirty little secrets in politics and economics, and one of the great lies, is we're only going to tax the rich, and we're going to solve all our problems by taxing the rich. Every tax increase ever passed, including the income tax, was sold to Americans that it's not going to affect the middle and lower classes. It's only going to affect the rich. And you're absolutely right. You can do the math. There simply are not enough rich people. If you tax them 100 pennies on the dollar, you would only run this government, which is now $27 trillion in debt, for 6 weeks or something like that. The money's in the middle class. It's always been there. And if you're going to try to solve your financial problems with taxes, you're going to have to get to the middle class. It's just the way, it's just the numbers. And so I always urge and warn people, don't fall for this, that you're protected because you're not rich. Eventually, once taxes start getting raised on the rich, it creeps down in the middle class and the rates start going up. And the next thing you know, even a person who works as a blue-collar job is paying 20-25% income tax. That's what happens. That's history. So, again, if they're going to solve New York's problems, financial problems, or the nation's, they're going to have to look at the middle class.
Carl, earlier in the show, we touched a real nerve out there in the public, and there's been a bunch of texts about your thoughts about what happened on Wednesday and really what's happening right now. And it's kind of percolating up on both sides, and so to read these would be something we both have heard many times. The last text, though, says, get ready for inflation, hyperinflation, eventually like Venezuela. We've only got a minute left in this segment. We'll come back and talk about this. But do you see that, based on what you said earlier about consumer spending, and the fact that there is a lot of money on the sidelines right now, that people will come back into the market and our economy will be propped up, but that could spur on inflation?
It could. The Federal Reserve will have a lot to say about it as well. I think the more dangerous ramification and outcome could be a slowing down of the economy. Again, policies, regulatory policies and tax policies that really put a weight around the ankle of the American economy in favor of bigger government, more regulation, more taxes. That's what I'm really concerned about. And in your business, that's got to be critical because, you know, even if taxes are lower, if people don't have jobs, if their wages aren't going up, that more than anything will affect a person's decision to buy a house and how much of a house. And so that's really what I'm looking for. Inflation usually takes some time to come on board, but you can shut down an economy pretty quickly with very negative pieces of legislation in terms of either taxes and or regulation. And let's be honest, the people on the left, Democrats, tend to be much more comfortable with a more regulated economy and a higher tax environment. And if that's what happens, it could be very detrimental to the American economy and the American worker.
We have to go to break, Carl. We'll be right back with more from our house viewers after these very important messages.
Time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700, and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, NMLS 37405, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Downsizing from your current home? Love the idea of waterfront living? The West End, Buffalo's newest luxury townhome community, may be perfect for you. In the heart of the waterfront village, the West End offers picturesque Lake Erie views. Each three-bedroom unit is meticulously crafted with the highest quality materials and amenities. To view this landmark development from Simonelli Real Estate, schedule your private showing now with exclusive listing agent Deacon Tasker with Hunt Real Estate at 280-7787 or by visiting westendbuffalo.com.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the continuously updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate, and even through our links to Boston, Massachusetts, and Phoenix, Arizona. You'll also find access to a complete set of home ownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information on our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before, but really live the after, and that's 633-3700. We have a lot of older housing stock and throughout all the markets we serve, and the fact of the matter is that you buy one of these beautiful houses with a lot of nice woodwork, and then you open up a wall and you realize that there's horrors behind that wall. You want to know about that stuff all in advance, and you can do that through our Buy the Before, Live the After program, 633-3700. Also ask about our pre-purchase commitment and even our Second Look program, which allows you to make sure that you're getting the very best rates in the market and closing costs today. And all you have to do is dial 633-3700 and tell them about what you may have already gone through. You have a pre-approval or qualification from another lender. Let us make sure that you're getting the very best deal in town, and that's available only through Hunt Mortgage. The Second Look Program, 633-3700. And if we don't beat or better that situation somehow, we'll give you a gift certificate, so it's a no-lose proposition for you. If you just want to pick up the phone and call about and learn about anything relative to real estate, the Hunt Customer Service Center is the only place to go, 633-9400. One of our customer service reps will either answer your question right there or direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home or ER will buy it. That's the strongest commitment in the marketplace today. That's a seller security plan available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA professional. I'm live remote today with Carl Calabrese, one of the leading experts on the political scene here in Western New York and really all through the state. And we've been talking about, obviously, the situation that evolved this week, which was a real tragedy for our nation. And then really what the aftermath of that could be in terms of the impact on our life here in Western New York. And Carl Calabrese, before the break, you were really kind of creating an equation here. And the equation is that regulation plus increased taxes equals a slowing of the economy. You're convinced of that?
No question about it. We saw it during the 8 years of the Obama administration, which turned out to be the most anemic recovery from a recession in the history of us following recoveries from recessions. And then you saw how quickly things ignited when Donald Trump early on began to lift regulations and cut taxes. And it works. I mean, Ronald Reagan proved it. Bill Clinton proved it. John Kennedy proved it. You've got to let the American people and the American economy have its head and let it go. And, you know, there's always this tendency, and we see it in New York, if a little regulation is good, then more has got to be better. Well, that's not true, and we're seeing that across the board. You're seeing it now, Peter, you're seeing it now in the administration of the vaccines and why it's so slow. And they just read the paper this morning, and the experts will say there's too many government regulations to go through before you can actually put a needle in somebody's arm. That's the tendency of bureaucracy to expand and to take over more and more decision-making and get it mired in the bureaucratic process, which when I taught at the University of Buffalo for many, many years, a course in local government, I would have a section, one whole class on the nature of bureaucracy, and that it's not meant to be innovative. It's not meant to be quick and fast. It's meant to be rule-laden and lots of paper trails and lots of CYA procedures to make sure nothing can possibly go wrong, even if it means nothing good happens either. And that's the nature of bureaucracy, and you see it all the time. So if we're going to get back into a more regulated economy, those regulations are overseen and administered by bureaucracies, just absolutely stifling to an innovative, dynamic economy and an innovative and dynamic American worker and business person.
One of the people texting is talking about the fact that at least this person believes that inflation is already here, from the price of housing to food to higher medical costs, that it's already here. And his suggestion is to roll back the tax cuts and reinstate the inheritance tax, national infrastructure projects, cutting military spending, et cetera. Does that make any sense in your mind?
Well, the last part certainly doesn't, cutting military spending. One of the person has been following China in the last couple of years. The Chinese are absolutely bent on eclipsing the American economy and the American military position and everything else. I'd recommend a book called 100-Year Marathon, written by a fellow named Pillsbury, a former State Department China expert. And he says the Chinese have a 100-year plan to be the number one country in the world by 2049 in everything: economy, military, science, technology, space, everything. 2049 is an interesting number because that's 100 years from the Communist Party takeover of China in 1949. And they are bent on that, and they've been doing that. And quite frankly, we in the West have been handing them the keys the last 40 years and taking that what was a very, very poor economy and making them the second largest economy in the world, soon to be the number one. And so cutting military spending now, with what's going on with China, very dangerous. But no, look, the infrastructure, we need infrastructure improvement in this country, no question about it. But how increasing taxes is going to help an economy and help spending, individual spending, that is, and job creation, it just doesn't work. I mean, it works. I guess it works if you're in the faculty lounge, okay? But in the real world, it always fails. And, you know, inflation, just because housing prices are going up, that's caused, as you've said already today, Peter, it's caused by a supply and demand equation, not caused by too many dollars chasing too few products. It's caused by simple supply and demand. That's going to happen in an economy. You could make the case that the reason the healthcare industry prices go up and education has been going up is because of government regulation. If you look at the bubbles across the economy, the two that have resisted lowering inflation and lowering costs have been education and healthcare, two of the most highly regulated sectors of our economy. So now this idea of we're going to raise taxes and we're going to raise regulations and everybody's going to be happy and the economy's going to boom, show me one administration that's done that has had a booming economy. I can show you three or four, Republican and Democrat, that did the opposite and produced a booming economy.
We have another very, very interesting comment here from a gentleman from Kenmore. The question is, will the Democratic power structure in New York State become more emboldened by the national outcome of the election and the majority in the Congress in terms of raising taxes, regulation, et cetera? Will that happen in the state as well?
Yeah, I don't think so, because I don't think the state needed the federal government to go all Democrat, by virtue of the fact that Democrats now took back the state Senate and now control the governors, the assembly, and now the state Senate, and they've got a very, very aggressive agenda. It'll be interesting to see, though, the one maybe counterbalancing force here is we now have four or five Democrat senators from upstate that didn't exist before. There's only one. Maybe two, but now with four or five, maybe more moderate Democrats representing more moderate, more conservative areas of the state other than New York City, they might be able to act as kind of an anchor on what is going to be a very hard left turn from New York City legislators. So that's worth watching. But no, they've got all three branches in the state, and I think you're going to see that kind of progressive left legislation now coming. In fact, they've already said it. The Democrats already said it, that lots of bills that were held up in the Republican Senate are now going to have a clear path to the governor's office for signature.
So the bottom line is that they don't need any real help to be emboldened. They already are emboldened here in the state.
So I read it the election night when they kept the Senate. That's where it's going to go now. And remember this. Reapportionment based on the last census will now begin this year, and the Democrats control that completely. In the old days, you had three entities drawing the new maps for legislative districts, and you always had a Republican at the table, so there had to be compromise. You couldn't make the map as blue as you wanted it if you were a Democrat. That balance is gone now. The Democrats control the reapportionment pen. And they're going to do what Republicans would do, to be honest with you. They're going to draw those maps as favorably as possible for the next 10 years, okay? There are 63 seats in the Senate. I'm told that based on the demographics and voter registration in this state, Democrats can draw at least 42 safe Senate seats for Democrats.
The fundamental nature of real estate market is that more people coming into any given area creates a buoyant, continuous upward movement in the market itself by spurring on new construction, as Vic Martocci will tell you. And our mission here on this show is to help people protect and enhance their investment right here in the communities we serve in real estate. We don't have a growing population here, but you're familiar with other parts of the country where there is a growing population. And if we're ever going to see our population grow here again in this community, what would be, we're going to have to go to a break. I'm going to have you think about this during the break. What would be the key elements that we would need to have happen here in Western New York and in New York State as a whole to really create a growing a growing population here again that really created what we still call the Empire State. I want you to think about that. But we do have to go to a break. We'll be right back with more from our upstairs after these important messages.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, NMLS 37405, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Downsizing from your current home? Love the idea of waterfront living? The West End, Buffalo's newest luxury townhome community, may be perfect for you. In the heart of the waterfront village, the West End offers picturesque Lake Erie views. Each three-bedroom unit is meticulously crafted with the highest quality materials and amenities. To view this landmark development from Simonelli Real Estate, schedule your private showing now with exclusive listing agent Deacon Tasker with Hunt Real Estate at 280-7787 or by visiting westendbuffalo.com.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment, the low rate and closing cost guarantee, and the second look program. Call them today, 633-3700. A very special show for you today, and we're in our last segment here with Carl Calabrese, political consultant, I guess would be the best current description of what you do, Carl, but also...
Peter, I describe myself as a recovering political junkie.
All right, well, there you go. Well, I'm kind of in the same boat because I've been a student of government since high school, really, and that was my major in college. And as I look at the interaction between the government and the citizenry and how it impacts real estate, this is really something that I know you've thought a lot about, particularly when you were... Deputy County Executive, and there were measures that were taken during the Jamber administration to lower taxes, which is one of the key things that I think you and many others thought would be essential to growing our community again, to getting ourselves, instead of treading water in terms of our population, really growing the population. How do you see it today? What would it take for us here in Western New York and really throughout upstate New York for us to grow again? Because you can drive through the state and you can see some healthy communities and a lot of communities that are hurting. What are the key elements that you see would be necessary for growth here again in our community?
Well, the problem is any local government, be it a town, even a large town or a large county like Erie County, is swimming in a very big pool of water called New York State. And, you know, policies enacted at the local level are helpful, but you still have this huge body of water you got to deal with. It'd be like, you know, dumping a bucket of very hot water into a very cold backyard pool. You've taken the action to try to warm the pool, but there's just too much cold water to be affected by the bucket of warm water. And so, you know, if you like a look at New York State, what are the two states that are losing the most people? They're New York and California. And what do they share in common? They're both heavily taxed, heavily regulated, and they pursue policies that favor growing government as opposed to growing the private economy. That's what's driving people out. And they're going, where are they going? They're going to the lower tax, lower regulated, more dynamic economy states like Florida, like Texas, like Arizona. So if you could do one thing to change New York State economic environment, make New York City its own state. That would do it. That would immediately change New York. New York now would look an awful lot like Ohio. Buffalo would be the largest city. Agriculture would be the largest industry. But that's not going to happen in our lifetime, if ever. And so until we get a government of people that say our goal here is to have policies that grow the economy and grow people's individual wealth and encourage innovation and job creation, we're going to continue down this path, which unfortunately I think is going to see a continued exodus of our best people, our most innovative, productive people to other states.
The government would say to you in New York State that things like the Buffalo Billion, 43 North, the Economic Development Councils, the Regional Economic Development Councils are all efforts by the government to work with private industry to do the things that would basically kind of loop around the bureaucracy that you talked about earlier, to get something happening here before we wait for fundamental change. Because, as you're pointing out, fundamental change is highly unlikely, and your course on the bureaucracy would, I think, support that. So that being the case, what can we do today, I guess, is really the question. I mean, you're talking about very fundamental change, regulation and tax structure. They're deep-seated, and for us to try to undo those things would be extremely difficult. And we are affected by what happens in New York City, whether we like it or not, and that's not going to go away. So what would you see in terms of real kind of collaborative efforts on the part of the government and private sector to actually get more things done here?
Well, you mentioned some good programs with the Regional Economic Development Councils and some of the other programs you mentioned. And think about it. All of those programs are in place for one reason, because they recognize the state has problems with a growing economy. And so we've attempted to set up these entities to work around that, overcome that. But their very existence tells you that there's a problem. And we're not dealing with a vacuum here. If you read what other states are doing, the things we're doing today, other states have been doing for a long time and are doing even more and are more aggressive. And so there's lots to be learned from the states that have instituted programs well beyond the scope of ours to make them even more competitive. And again, they're starting from a much stronger base of having lower taxes and lower regulations to begin with. And they're still doing economic incentives and programs like you mentioned. So we can't be in a vacuum. We can't say, oh, we've got these programs and they work. Yeah, maybe they do, but do they work as well as they could? Are they as extensive as they could be? How do they relate to other states who are our competition? And I think if you do that comparison, you'd find that there's a whole number of things New York State could do to emulate other growing states that we ought to institute here that can be done with the existing structure without the, as you said, the fundamental structural change that takes so much time.
Many of us really like it here. Many of us think that this is a wonderful place to live, to raise children, to recreate. I mean, we have a remarkable community in many respects. Our arts and cultural infrastructure is amazing and really second to none for any city our size anywhere in the world, really. So we have a lot of great assets here, but they're not cheap, and they're not cheap to maintain. And we have without a growing population, it makes it harder and harder for us to maintain that, particularly when the people that do tend to leave tend to be more affluent than the ones that happen to stick around. What we said earlier brought a lot of questions, and we just don't have time to take them today. But we do have one question about demographics, and I think we should take that. And I'd like your comments on this. This is Gustav in Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Hi, thank you. I hope this hasn't been gone over before, but nationally you see states that were formerly predominantly Republican are shifting as people move out of places like New York and Illinois and other states to, well, the Texas, Arizona, where now their politics are shifting with the changes of the northern liberals moving to those states. Do you want to talk about that?
Gustav, great question and a great topic that has been given a lot of time by those of us in the political business. It's a phenomenon that people get disgusted with high taxes and high regulations and intrusive government, and it's usually run by Democrats, let's be honest, and like California, New York, and they leave and they go to states run by Republicans, and then they continue to vote Democrat. To those of us on the Republican side of the aisle, that's very frustrating. But it doesn't have to be. And I had personal experience with this. When I was town supervisor, up until 1995, the town of Tonawanda was always considered a rock-rib, overwhelmingly Republican town. Well, lots of people from Buffalo moved into the town of Tonawanda. And by 1995, the town had become Democrat in enrollment. However, we continued to have an all-Republican town board. And we got 30% plus of those Democrats in every election to vote for us on the town board, Republicans, vote straight Republican. And the way it happened was we worked it. When those people came into town, we had a political organization that came to them, met them at their door, explained the nature of the town of Tonawanda, the government, the services they were going to get, and who was providing them, and what party was providing them. And then we talked to them all during the campaign about what they were happy about and who delivered those services. And we did very, very well with Democratic voters. Oh, like I said, every election over 30%. If you're any political party, if you're losing 30% plus of your base vote to the other side, you're not going to win elections. So my advice to all of these states is, yes, you're getting an influx of probably predominantly Democrat voters. You've got to start making contact with them immediately and reminding them why they left a high state or a high tax, high regulatory blue state and moved to a red state. And if you want to continue, if you want to get away from what drove you out of that blue state, you've got to start voting red. It takes time, but it can be done. We did it in the town of Tonawanda, and it worked very well. So if you're a political leader in Texas, Florida, Arizona, at the state or county level, if you don't have a plan in place now to meet and talk to those people and remind them why they picked up stakes, think about how drastic a move that is in people's lives, to pick up stakes, lock, stock, and barrel, not move from one neighborhood to another, but from one state to another. Remind them of why that happened and why they made that decision and why they want to make sure they're not put in that position again where they have to leave Texas or Florida or Arizona for the same reason they left New York or California. That's what you have to do.
Carl, we have only about 4 minutes left in the show here, and you talk about the drastic impact on people's lives when they move from one state to another, which is you know, really tragic in my opinion, and very, very difficult. But oftentimes they're kind of angry. They're saying, you know, I'd like to stay in Western New York. I'd like to stay in New York State, but my taxes are driving me out of here. The regulation. I've got a business. I would save a lot of money if I moved my business to another state. We've got to at least deliver a message in one way, shape, or form, as a community, that there's good reason to stay here, and even along the lines that you were just saying, in terms of a government, even our government here, reaching out to people and engaging in a new kind of dialogue, as opposed to a kind of a punitive dialogue that we've been listening to all through this whole COVID situation. What would be your message, Carl, if you were speaking with people in this community about reasons they should stay here?
Well, for all the reasons you said, Peter, I mean, you know, for a community our size to have a world-class art museum and Philharmonic Orchestra and an NFL and NHL teams and the architecture and all of those things, you know, a wonder of the world in Niagara Falls, access to Canada, Toronto, all of those reasons. But again, people have to do what's best for their families and their jobs. And if it's not here, they're going to make those tough decisions and they're going to leave, and they have been. If I had to give a message to state legislators, or have people give a message to state legislators, one of the things that I think could be done is, you know, oftentimes we pass laws in the state pretty much on a one-size-fits-all basis. And we know that the New York City economy is totally different than the upstate economy. And one-size-fits-all oftentimes doesn't work. And so maybe upstate legislators on the Democrat side of the aisle could be made to see that maybe we should start, when we pass legislation, looking at the special circumstances of upstate New York and tailoring that legislation a little differently for upstate than for downstate in New York City. That would be a half step towards at least blunting some of the more harmful effects of a one-size-fits-all approach that may benefit New York City and make sense for New York City, but serves as a weight around the rest of the state.
My impression is, and this was said by one of our governors directly to me, that we actually can bifurcate bills in at the state legislature level, such that they have a different cost, so to speak, in downstate as opposed to upstate. But again, it would be very hard for us to solve that problem immediately anyway. We really touched a nerve out there in the public today, Carl, and I want to thank you for joining me today. And there's really two points of view here that are coming up in the text. One is that high taxes really reflected a pretty good set of circumstances, and low taxes created huge deficits. And I know we could, again, spend another hour talking about that. And I'd like to invite you back on sometime not too far out so that we can follow up after we see what happens actually in the Congress and also even at the state level, to see if some of the things that you talked about earlier might actually come to fruition. But we do have to go here, Carl. And Carl Calabrese, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your Saturday morning to join us here on at our house. And I want to thank you again for all the good work that you've done here in Western New York over the years and the many good things you've done in public service. Thank you very much, Carl, for joining us today. I want to thank our listeners for being with us this week again. We'll be back again next week at the same time. So remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.